I have to be very honest with you that whenever I'm preaching in church, it is a childhood dream that comes true for me. When I was little, I really wanted to be preaching in my home church, but maybe for the wrong reasons, because I thought that preachers have superpowers.
Oh, they do.
They do. Oh, I don't yet. But to explain it a little bit, I have a picture from my church in Austria. So when you look at the right on the top, there's this little platform, right? I'm sure it has a proper English name. I call it cabin for now. Whenever the preacher got to the sermon, he like stood up and went to the back room, and there is a hidden staircase that leads up to this platform. But when I was little, I always missed the point when the preacher got up, went to the stairs, opened the door, and came out again. To me, it looked like a massive wall. My assumption? When you're a preacher, you can teleport yourself up there. I found out that's not true. that was my motivation, and that's why I'm always very excited when I can talk in church. apart from the funny staircase, my church had some other funny things and funny traditions I didn't quite understand when I was young. For example, the harvest service. Maybe that's not really an Austrian thing, but an English thing as well. But in the next picture, you see that the church is decorated with different fruits and vegetables that the farmers in Austria gave as a donation. Is that a thing in England as well?
Yeah.
Great. Oh, I didn't see that.
Do you remember all the food?
Well, oh, true. There are apples, yeah. But what I didn't get, I always thought that farmers just give it and it's just used for decoration. And I thought, what is that? It's like you show your thankfulness by putting it in the church, using it as a decoration, and then it just, well, nobody uses it. But I found out they donated for charities later. On the next picture, you see a bit more of the, there we have some potatoes and apples and all these things. Because in the Danke is German for thank you. Because harvest is a time to be thankful and look back on the fruit of the last year. So that today is harvest and we celebrate harvest. But I don't want to look back. I want to look ahead to the next year. Because I want to talk with you today about investing into a fruitful harvest. Investing into a fruitful harvest. And even though I am from Austria and farming is a big deal there, I have no idea about it. So my grandparents grew up on a farm and they did all the farm work, but my parents didn't and I didn't. So I can't tell you a lot about fruitful harvest or what it means, but I have something different for you. Wait a second. There we go. Does anybody know what this is? Avocado, yes. It's not mine, it's Ben's avocado plant. And he planted it sometime in the last year, and it was an exciting progress to see. So you have the avocado stone, and you have these wooden sticks, and you put it like on the top of a glass, and then, first of all, the stone gets a crack all around. And then slowly the roots come out, and then at some point, this nice branch. But Ben said it shouldn't look that. It's in time of pruning at the moment, so that's why it looks a bit funny. But yeah, so I want to talk about avocado plants today. When I talk about investing into a fruitful harvest, it's not about we all should plant an avocado. It's a different kind of harvest. So let's come to the point what kind of harvest we talk about. And to do that, I have a Bible verse for you where we see where Jesus is talking about the harvest. I have that on slide. The next one. Great. So we read that in Matthew chapter 9, 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So here we see Jesus talking about the harvest. And I think we agree he's not talking about farming work or planting avocados. He is talking about the people surrounding him. He's talking about the helpless, the hopeless, all the people who need Jesus. Jesus is not talking about a normal harvest field. His harvest field is God's mission field. So harvest and fruit in this context means when people get to know God, when people grow closer to God and take steps in the right direction. That is the harvest Jesus is talking about. And if you notice, what Jesus is telling us here is really, really good news. The harvest is plentiful. Yay! The people are ready. There are lots of people who are ready to hear the good news and that want to get to know Jesus and the gospel. And we even hear what we have to do. We can pray for workers. And even if there are few, we can pray for them, right? But I want to look at this passage differently today. Because I have the strong belief that we are not only called to pray for the workers, but that each one of us is called to be a worker on God's harvest field. Each one of us is called to be a worker. Because mission, in that sense, and sharing the good news, is not only for a few chosen people, but we are all called to live a life on mission. I personally would say that mission is a lifestyle. But don't understand me wrong here. Mission is not going overseas and preaching the good news to some tribe in Africa, but mission is just simply sharing faith and talking about Jesus with other people and sharing life with them so that they can see what is different in your life. So that they can take a step closer to God. Okay, so now we understand what God is talking about when he talks about harvest. But I want to give you a few moments now to think back on somebody who had an impact in your life. Think of someone who impacted your faith. Maybe the person who explained the gospel to you and you understood it. Somebody who helped you growing closer to God. Maybe it wasn't only one person, but many, many different people. But whoever you're thinking about now, that was a worker on God's mission field. And each one of them had a very different way of sharing the good news. But it was fruitful because you're thinking of them right now. But what I want to say is that there are so many different ways of sharing the good news. And each one of you, you can do it in your own personal way. So I have an avocado here because we're talking about avocados, right? So, you know, an avocado has a stone inside, right? And I would say each one of us is a little bit like an avocado. We all have our inmost being, the person God created us to be. And that is with all our talents, with our gifts, with our personality, with our characteristics. And this inmost being, God can use it to bring fruit in somebody else's life. It's like with the avocado plant. Take the seed and put it in the right soil and it brings fruit. So we are like the avocado, and our inmost being can be used for the kingdom of God. And that's the amazing thing about harvest, because it goes on and on and on. You just thought about somebody who planted the seed in your life and it brought fruit. And now you are able to take your seed and put it into somebody else's life and it brings fruit. And they're able to do it again and again, and it goes on and on and on. So harvest isn't the thing that should stop with you, but it should go on. So I hope you all agree with me that we're all called to be workers in God's mission field and in his harvest field. Now the question is, where do we start? There are so many people around us, and we said there are so many people ready to hear the good news. So the first thing for you to think about is, what is your harvest field? Everybody of us is called to a different place with our personality and our giftings where God can use us. So think about, where is God calling you to invest? Where is God already at work? Because don't understand me wrong, God is at work anyway. He is at work in his harvest field. It's just a question if we join in with it. So look around you and just find out, where is God at work? Where can I join in? Maybe there is one person in your life that is ready to hear the good news. Maybe it is at work or in school. Maybe it is in your family. Or maybe at church. Do you come to church just to receive or also to give? Think about, where is your harvest field? The next step is, next slide, is to pray. You can pray for open hearts. You can pray for wisdom that you know what to do. You can pray for courage that you have the courage to do something, because there are some steps you have to take. And then is that you have to be intentional. Once you know your people, the people you want to invest in, then look out for conversations. Spend time with them. And talk normally about your faith. I don't know if you know that, but for me it's like, with my Christian friends, it's super easy to talk about what I experience with God and what is happening in my faith life. But with my non-Christian friends, I don't really talk about it because it feels awkward. But what is the difference? Why don't we start to talk normally about our faith with our non-Christian friends? So be intentional. And then the last step is, let the Holy Spirit guide you. Because as I said, in the end, it is God's work. And he knows what is best. He knows what the next step is. So ask God to show you what you have to do and what is working best. Because in 1 Corinthians we can read, God is the one who gives the growth. We see Paul writing here, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's fields, God's building. So we see it is God at work. God brings the growth, but we can join in. We can join in, and when you decide that you want to join in, then you invest into a fruitful harvest. And in 1 year, you can look back and look at the fruit that it brought. You can invest into God's harvest. I don't know about you, but I often sit in church and I hear a sermon and I think I want to do something about it, but then I forget it. So we today want to take the first step together. I want to give you the time now to think about and ask God in prayer, where is my harvest field? Where should I invest? And then just write it down on a piece of paper and put it somewhere where you see it. Put it in your wallet, put it on your desk at work somewhere, and then, yeah, be reminded about your harvest field.